Welcome to How Can We Help, the podcast, the advice podcast, featuring an unaccredited,
extremely unaccredited, extremely unlicensed,
extremely unlikable.
I didn't sign off on that.
It's your host, Jackie Pirico.
Hi, Mark. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you, Jackie, as always. So as you know, with this podcast, we solicit anonymous questions from people who follow Jackie online.
That's right. Cyber friends. I call them my cyber friends.
From Jackie's cyber friends. And try to give our best advice on their particular pickles.
That's right. There's a lot of pickles coming in. And all we want to do is give some people, maybe it's not good advice all the time, but it's a perspective. Don't we offer them a perspective?
Right? I think we offer them a few perspectives. Yeah. And one of the perspectives we'll be offering this week is from our guest advisor, Mike Balazzo.
Hey, guys.
We love him.
Hey, Mark and Jackie. Thank you so much for having me here on your advice podcast. I'm in a great position to dole out advice to other people.
I like this because normally Jackie's the freewheeling sort of Dharma and I'm the buttoned up Greg. But today I'm going to get out repressed by King Button himself.
I thought you were going to say that I'm like the wild card. Like I'm... if Dharma and Greg had an episode where Balki from Perfect Strangers showed up and added an element of
and
chaos.
Then, and then he would out Dharma Dharma.
Yeah.
But no. I think it's more pure buttons
like,
today.
Yeah, I think it's more like Jackie's like Daphne or Martin from Frasier.
Right.
I'm Frasier, and then you've stumbled in as Niles.
I'll do it. I'll take people like Niles.
Jackie, Mike, what's going on?
I get really upset with motorists. And today was no exception. I was like crossing a three-way. There was a three-way stop, one-way street. I'm the pedestrian. You know what that means? Right of way.
Yeah.
And so I start crossing, and this kid in this car is just rolling. And so I had to stop. So what's his plan? What was his plan if I didn't stop walking?
To gently kill me.
Gently, slowly knead me into the concrete with the tires.
I'd love to see the expression on his face as he like, slowly plowed you to dust.
Just kind of wincing as he heard the crunches. Yeah.
I just couldn't stop.
Yeah.
And so I stopped walking in front of his car. He was way out in the walkway. And I said, I'm like yelling. His windows are up, of course, but I'm yelling. I'm sure he could hear me muffled.
It's very
like
cold.
Kind of muffled, like sounding through the glass. But I was like, excuse me, I'm fucking walking here. I'm like, you're out in the middle of the walkway. And then I was like, move your car back. And he wouldn't. He was just like not even looking me in the eyes. But what I came out of that situation happy about, spitefully happy, is that, so he didn't want to stop, right? But then he ended up stopping for so much longer than necessary because I was stood in front of his car yelling at him. So that's what he gets.
He didn't look at you at all. You were in front of his windshield?
I was right in front of his car.
Wow.
I was in front of his windshield looking right at him and yelling, like ranting at him.
Wow.
And he was just like this. Like, well, you can't see me on the airwaves, but he was just kind of like, almost like no facial expression at all. But he couldn't look me in the eye, which knew I was doing something right.
Yeah, wow. Anytime someone can't look you in the eye, you know you're in the right. And not just sort of like a harrowing predatory presence that they're trying not to inflame
further.
But
he's the ultimate predator. He's in the car. I'm the vulnerable one.
Yeah.
Right.
And also, I get really mad in my neighborhood because there's so many children. So, like, if there was a kid crossing, like, there's all these kids running in front of their parents. If a kid was crossing that didn't have the, you know, wherewithal that I have, and he's doing that, so what, he's going to, like... It's so dangerous. I'm sorry I'm on my high horse, but I get so mad.
I have always thought of you as a streetwise kid. Sort of a kid with all the bells and whistles.
I've got the grit. I've got the inexperience and the size of a child, but I've got the grit of a streetwise tough.
Yeah, you're always sort of ferrying cartons of cigarettes from one business to another.
So I really yelled at this kid, and then I glared at him as he peeled away.
I'm disappointed to hear this attack on car culture, you know, in 2022. People need cars. Cars are good.
Can I say unsarcastically that as a cyclist, I'm pro-car.
Why is that?
Know that that's crazy because
that is crazy.
I just haven't lost a friend to death
okay.
at the hands of a car. But so I know that some people have legitimate gripes with cars, but I do think cyclist culture has gone too far
against cars.
And against cars, and car culture needs just not too much of a break, but a teeny bit of a break.
Okay, interesting.
Like, for instance, I...
Speak up for those cars that don't have a voice of their own.
Yeah, yeah, it's not like this. And provincially, they're really put on the back burner in Ontario.
Like, for instance, I just think, like, anytime a car stops for a second in a bike lane, like a new bike lane, cyclists go fucking bananas.
Oh, that's true. I've
and
seen
it's
that.
Like, but they... It's like, you don't... Cyclists are not guaranteed infinite... unblemished momentum, you
right,
know?
Right,
like,
right.
No one on the road gets to move forward all the time at a consistent
yes,
pace.
Yes, with no hindrances, no obstacles. Yeah. And I really get mad at bikes too because they don't obey. Okay, so they're using the road, the convenience of the actual road, but then they don't feel like the lights or like the rules of like mm-hmm. vehicular traffic apply to them, but they're using the road.
I never obey the rules of the traffic lights, so I can't agree.
Oh my god,
less.
You know what, we're learning a lot about Mark here today that I'm not sure about.
I've got complicated. Here's what I think though.
You're like Johnny Rotten.
Yeah, I'm starting out punk and I'm ending as conservative as it comes. I'm gonna be weeping wholeheartedly when the king dies. But I just think like sometimes a car stops in a car lane and other cars have to wait.
Right.
Sometimes something will stop in a bike lane and you just have to wait a bit. Just a yes. bit. You don't have to like scream and shout and throw a little panicked fit because your bicycle had to pause.
But so wait, when you say you don't obey the traffic rules, like, so you go through like red lights?
Yes.
But what if there's a pedestrian crossing? Do you like whiz in front of their nose?
No.
Good.
This is the thing. I think that I understand why. I understand that if everyone behaved like me, there'd be chaos. But I do. I just believe in common sense and everyone just sharing the road.
Yes,
in
I
a
do
common
too.
Sense way. So what that means is like if a traffic light is on for too long and right. there's no traffic coming the other way, go.
Of course, I believe that for bicycles as well.
Yeah, and if someone has to pause for a second in your lane,
it's okay.
Let them.
Yes.
Like just everyone, just obey. The laws of humanity.
Yeah.
More than like the sort of laws.
To defend myself, I sound really like stringent with that story I just told about yelling at that kid.
You have a real bee in your bonnet because that guy almost killed you. Yeah.
I know. I am a drama queen. But I will say this about myself too. I'm a very conscientious and like, as a pedestrian, I really do share the road because just because I know I have the right of way as a pedestrian, sometimes if I see a car that's like trying to turn right and I see that they have a break in traffic to, or try to turn left and I see they have a break in traffic to do so, I will wait to let them go because that's their only opportunity.
Right.
So I'll be like, okay, you go. Because like, just, I'm not going to
nice.
Go,
that's
oh, I'm a good girl.
Yeah. Give and share and share alike.
Yes. But yes. If someone, like I said, is trying to crunch my bones with their car, no, I will not.
If there's some sort of ogre
down.
Behind the wheel, yeah. He's trying to make you into his daily bread. yesterday, I was at an improv show, and then across the street, Matthew Good Band was performing.
Oh, at the Danforth?
At the Danforth Music Hall. And then some people told me that this is actually sort of a new thing because he was canceled
right.
early pandemic
yes.
really? For bad behavior. Uh-huh. And then
For all those terrible songs he did?
Yeah. Yeah. Symbolistic white walls finally came back to bite him. But I came up with a joke. Do you want to hear my joke?
I would love to.
So Matthew Good was recently canceled. And I think... For that reason, he should have to change his name to Bad Thew Good.
That's great. I love it. I love it.
All right, that's going to make its way into the act.
Is it going to go in the act?
Oh, yeah. That's one of the jokes that's going to get into the act and last four shows.
Four shows or so. But I have to tell you, like, crowds are getting younger and younger. Will they even know who you're
talking
about?
Here's the best part of the joke. I get to spend the first 45 to 60 seconds explaining Matthew Good, explaining the 90s.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good setup.
Ever heard the term, the future is X-rated? Well,
a friend that I went to high school with did stuff in that tour, in his tour bus.
Took a dump?
No. No. Did stuff with him.
Oh,
took a dump on
non-dump stuff. Oh,
and that's the day he was canceled.
The day?
No.
No.
Does this mean if he's canceled? Sorry to cut you off.
No, there's no more to that story without really revealing people's activities and names.
Yeah. Yeah. And that friend went on to become Premier of Ontario.
If Matthew Good of the Matthew Good Band is canceled, does this mean he'll never get to have his own sitcom like Jan called Matt that everyone loves?
Everyone goes crazy for it. Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess not. Although the rehabilitation tour has begun. He's playing the Danforth Music Hall, and if there's anything we can glean from Jan's career, it's first Danforth Music Hall, then CTV / Global, whichever it is.
Yeah.
Then the world.
The Danforth CTV track.
Yeah.
I don't think but Jan truly had some magnificent 90s songs.
Yes.
Matthew Good can't claim the same. He was never that big.
You know what? In my world, he was bigger probably than he was in your guys' world. Like I saw them.
I did too.
Okay.
He was huge for me.
Okay. Yeah.
For me though. Like yeah, me I feel too. Like but I feel like it was really regional. I feel like he was, I don't know.
But you were in Vancouver.
That's true.
I was in, as we know, Guelph.
The regions of Vancouver and Guelph.
I was in Oshawa, so that creates a triangle where two of the signs are very close to each other. The other one is very far away.
Very isosceles triangle. But yeah. Like, I love that song. Picture yourself, bodies in the water. Mm. I love that song.
But does it compare to Insensitive?
Oh, Insensitive.
Yeah.
That's a really good one, too.
Yeah, good Jan. That's a good
Do you know
Jan.
That one, Mike?
Yeah, yeah.
How does it, what's
Maybe
the, what's the
you
verse?
Might have some advice to give.
Yeah.
On how to be insensitive.
Jen Arden just recently tweeted her thought on, it's just so funny. She was like, here's what I think, why Russia is pulling out of some part of Ukraine. It's so Putin can use a nuclear weapon.
Oh, yeah. And then you retweeted it saying, this is the ultimate place to get your international news. What did you say?
Imagine like the ultimate place to learn about nuclear apocalypse. Imagine it's like, that's like how you learn that like, oh, God, like it's all, the world is ending.
Jan Arden's Twitter account. And but at the end of her tweet, wasn't she like, just saying?
Just my two cents.
Oh, yeah,
Shruggy
yeah.
emoji.
But yeah.
A hand over the mouth giggling emoji. Peeking through its own fingers emoji.
But maybe she has battlefield intel that we don't have access to.
Right.
It's possible.
As a celebrity, yeah. Could be.
Yeah, as a Canadian celebrity, sometimes you do get fed certain intel. Like, for instance, I knew about 9/11 a mere moments before it took place.
Yeah, you have
sort of a young sketch comedian on the internet.
Maybe Jan has, yeah, friends in the Kremlin who are sort of just sending her, you know, Slack messages.
Yeah. Well, without further ado, are we ready to give some advice?
I'm ready.
Okay. Here's our first question from, as always, an anonymous source.
Cowardly. Yeah. Use your name, send your email address,
send
a picture of your passport.
Yeah. Just to clarify, when we say you can send these in anonymously,
you
that's
don't
to...
don't have to.
Yeah, that's like if you must.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you have the fucking balls.
Do you have the balls, listeners?
To put your name behind these shameful admissions.
The conviction of your character, yeah. Then we do want it.
Yeah, we want your name first and foremost.
Anonymous people rarely make history. Ever heard that?
Forget all the quotes we see by anonymous. They really aren't making a splash.
Yeah, Mike, could you read from that list of famous eunuchs for me? Oh, wait. It's the ones with the big dangling balls who leave their mark. Not the ones who had their balls forcibly removed by the ones with the big balls. And that's my little bit of anti-eunuch propaganda.
Prop. Oh my God.
That's where I'm coming from. Yeah, eunuchs, fuck off.
Are there any famous eunuchs? No. Who, what, I guess famous saints or monks?
I think the last famous, like castrati? Like, I don't know if eunuchs existed.
Castrati was castrated.
Maybe eunuchs ended when medieval times ended, but maybe there was a castrati that there is a recording that exists from, I think he died of old age in the 40s or 50s?
Speaking of medieval times, though, there are eunuchs at the restaurant Medieval Times.
That's how authentic it is?
Oh my God, it's so good.
You know what? The food is not bad from what I remember as being a child.
Oh, big leg of turkey.
Yeah.
And that's broth? It.
No, was it like
plain bread?
Was it that? What's
it's
was
broth?
It?
Like an unseasoned chicken and a potato.
I remember being a kid being like, maybe I was just really hungry. I was a piglety kid. I was really hungry all the time.
Yeah, but also I don't think you had the most refined palate back then.
This is divine.
You were young, inexperienced. You were smoking a pack a day.
Yeah, and the smoking didn't help with my taste receptors. One time I was drinking at the Rhino, and all the knights from medieval times came to go drink after at the Rhino. Mm. And they were like, actually, well, I mean, I guess they were just like, you know, struggling actors, but they, like, a lot of them were pretty hot.
Oh, yeah, they're doing well on Tinder, I hear.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jackie, you're not going to see a schlubby knight at medieval times. The guy's out of breath during the jousting match.
Just heaving.
Give me a second.
Yeah, and representing the Blue King, Sir Pudding. Sir Pudding waddles out to try his best again.
He's drinking at the Rhino too much.
Yeah, the Rhino will get you. Okay, so here's the question, Jackie.
Okay.
Hi, Jackie. For the first time in my life, I am the front man of a rock and roll band.
Oh, my God.
I'm really struggling with the between song banter parts of our show. As a world-class comedian, what tips do you have for being witty and engaging for brief moments between songs? Thanks.
Wow.
And that's signed...
M. Good.
Yeah, that's signed M. Good.
M. Good.
For the first time in his life, he's...
he's world-class. Yes. Wow. You know what? I find I'm often very jealous of musicians because they're building this tension with the music, right? Mm-hmm. And I find it so easy for them to get big laughs in between songs because the tension with the sincerity and the frankness of their music is so easily popped with a pin that sometimes I'm actually get pissed off by how easy they get laughs in between songs.
Yeah, they deliver crap material and get like an applause break.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm serious.
Like Bob Dylan's between song banter, everyone laughs. It makes no sense what he says.
Well,
often.
I can't even imagine what he'd be saying.
It's great to be here in Toronto. We got a lot of bridges or something.
And people are like, oh my God.
Too true, Bob. Too true.
I was on a show recently. It was a variety show and there was a musician and the show was already going pretty long and he was doing, 20 to 25 minutes of banter in between every 2 minute song.
Yeah.
Getting a lot of laughs. I'm just like, and I was on at the end of the show and I was like getting really irritated because I'm like, you're going to exhaust them. Like, you're here for music. Shut up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyways, but that aside.
I want comedians to start doing little songs between jokes.
Yeah, and I'm going to. I'm threatening to do that if they don't stop.
Yeah, long, humorless songs.
Yeah,
tear-jerking lyrics.
Yes. There's been times where I've, just for fun, played songs, like, in a set. Like when I was hosting Laugh Sabbath, I played a few covers and when I was trying to keep my guitar skills up. Mm. And the way I would get laughs is kind of commenting sometimes on the absurdity of the subject matter of the songs. That might be different.
Yeah,
if
you're
it's
turning
your own
it into
music.
Comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was playing the song sincerely. Mm. I wasn't like making them different.
Right.
But I would suggest to this person, like, I don't know, maybe talk, like, say something about like the songs, like about the process of writing them or what they're about. Give a little peek. Because you don't have to be funny, but if you're like a bit personal about it and be self-deprecating about it, right? Because people want to take these musicians down a peg, I think, deep down.
Yeah.
So I think that the key is to drag yourself through the muck a little bit.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely castigate yourself.
Yeah.
Here's what I think. Between each song, pull out an old medieval switch and pull up your coarse hair shirt.
Yeah.
And whip yourself on the back
whip
a couple
yourself,
times.
Maybe even if you're into it. A light castration, just one.
Oh my God, cut off one ball.
One ball between, yeah, yeah.
And offer it.
A demi eunuch. Become a demi eunuch in between it.
Demi eunuch. Oh, she's my favorite troubled pop star. I hope she's doing okay.
But I think, sincerely, this person doesn't have to try too hard. Don't put too much pressure on yourself to be funny, because if you see any musician doing it, they're getting laughs very easily. Yeah. If your songs are sad enough, if your songs are tense enough, you don't have to try very hard. Don't try too hard.
Well, that is the key. Don't try too hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be yourself.
Be yourself and kind of be reflexive. Talk about the music. Talk about, like, maybe, you know, what. I'd love to know more about what kind of music this person is playing, though. I would love to know that detail. Because what if it's like, What if it's like really happy music? Then that's harder to be funny in between, I think.
Not always. You can sort of switch it up. Be like, world's tough out there.
Yeah. Oh, shit, it is.
This song's called Sunshine on My Face.
What would you think, Mike? Would you go? What way would you go?
I'm a fan of... I would love it if you were at a concert and in terms of banter, like what gets the audience going and laughing, I would suggest between each song... talk about your ethnicity.
So oh, of
finish
course.
A song and go, so I'm half Irish, I'm half Italian. Yeah. I don't know whether to fly to Rome or to die from hunger in the potato famine. Yeah. And between each song, do something like that.
Something that, or what's best even is to and comment on your just your appearance alone.
Yeah.
I look like as if Dane Cook had a baby with Barbara Streisand, and then that's going to bring the house
down.
Here's
how you got to start all of your pieces of banter. I know what you're thinking.
Yeah. Start with, I know what you're thinking. This guy.
Yeah, when did Art Garfunkel have a baby with a big Grand Am? Depending on if you look like that.
Like a Pontiac Grand Am?
Yeah, if you look like a muscle car with curly hair, that would be a good place to start for.
That would be the perfect place to start.
Obviously, don't say that if you don't look like that.
Something like this. Like, imagine Bruce Springsteen finishes playing Born to Run. The audience goes crazy and he goes, I know what you're thinking. A guy my age probably can't run, probably has to... have like a rascal, like a scooter.
Born
I'm old.
To scoot.
Yeah. And then the audience is like, yeah. We love you.
So what we're saying is the bar is low. You've got no competition up there to be, you're yeah. gonna, no matter what joke you tell, it's going to be the only joke that's been told on the stage. You've got nobody before you, got no one after you.
Yeah. Hey, here's a segue. Almost like the segue I need to get around on account of my old knees. This song's called Dancing in the Dark.
Paul McCartney finishes Hey Jude. The audience goes crazy. He goes, I know what you're thinking. or he talk, what should he do? Should I do an I know what you're thinking joke or an ethnicity joke?
Ethnicity.
So he finishes Hey Jude in front of a stadium. The stadium goes crazy. And he goes, so I have an Irish heritage. I love to wear green. And on my rider, instead of most rock stars, they ask for booze and... food. I ask for a pot of gold. Yeah. Backstage.
I ask for them to get the freaking snakes out of here. Rid my dressing room of all the snakes.
And the audience goes crazy.
They go nuts. So yeah, mind your ethnicity and go to a bunch of open mics and just say whatever's going on at the open mics.
Yeah. And take an adult improv class.
Yeah.
So you can learn to really be in the moment and to start your banter with a minute of sort of searching, pawing.
Yeah, audience suggestions.
Audience say, listen, people. Say people a lot.
Yeah. Guys.
There's so much to mine, but I think ultimately this is like a... You know, I've seen some banter. You guys are saying it's easy. I've seen some banter go horribly wrong.
Oh, really? You name the artist or is it too...
St. Vincent. Is a mad woman, I believe.
Okay.
And she would, but she, you know what? She got what you were describing, which was instant approval, but somehow managed to exhaust it and like murdered the momentum between each song. So she would end it and then she'd go, Halifax. And we'd go, wow. And she'd go, I went to Tim Hortons today. And we'd go, wow. And she'd go, muffins. And people go,
You know, kind of like, where's this going? And the muffins is the first thing you mentioned?
She'd say, muffins. And then she'd say, honey cruller. And everyone would go, okay. Like a few people clapping. And she'd go, where's it going? And I was like, what does that mean? And then she'd kind of pause for a long time and go, Danish. She just kind of felt, she would do poetry and fall apart.
Oh my God.
And then it would be like thousands of people silence. Like one person going, woo.
And was your heart just like pounding at this point?
I was just like digging my nails into my own flesh. Like, what is happening? Like, please land this. And then she'd start a song and it would take people like 10 seconds before we were like, okay, people are back into the song. They're kind of losing themselves. And then the song would end and she'd go, went to the harbor.
You didn't go to the harbor.
Muffins.
Oh, God.
So what we can take from this is don't do regional stuff to the point of poetry about local restaurants.
You kind of don't be totally. If you are crazy, keep it tight.
Yeah, keep it real tight.
Also, another thing I should mention, don't steal another well-known comic's routine. For instance, I saw Billie Eilish recently. Amazing. But between... two songs, she did Jim Gaffigan's entire Hot Pockets routine. And I was like, Billy, no.
Billy, come on. It's so recognizable.
You're going to be accused of being a joke thief.
Oh, and we do know this, that we have emphasized ethnicity jokes as a great way forward. But obviously, and this is goes without saying, it has to be your own ethnicity.
Yes.
Oh, yes, please.
You cannot claim another person's ethnicity.
No, especially if you're like touring and then you're using that region or that country.
Yeah, like I recently went to see the band AFI in concert.
Great.
A Fire Inside, a sort of emo pop punk screaming band.
How were they?
Well, they were great, but between songs,
between
songs, the lead singer did Chris Rock's Bullet Control bit.
AFI!
We don't need gun control, we need bullet control, and he used every word in the bit.
Oh my God.
He used every word in the bit.
Oh, it's tough out there. And also, I'd like to say to this person writing in that have me in your band.
Yeah. Honestly, you could have Jackie up there doing a little dance, banging a tambo.
Yeah.
And then between songs, doing the banter.
No, I don't want to do. I only want to do the music.
You don't want to do the banter?
No, I only want to be a rock star.
Oh, I misunderstood the pitch here.
No, I only wanted to be a rock star.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I wish I was instead of a comedian.
Right.
Yeah, way much.
All
comedians
way much
want
more. To be rock stars. Yeah. All rock stars want to
be comedians, and this proves it.
Successful rock stars.
And all actors want to be comedians and musicians.
Yeah.
And
all improvisers want to be comfortably in the grave.
All makeup people want to be hair people.
Yeah, all hair people want to be set deck.
All lighting guys want to be sound guys.
And sound guys want to be a grip. What is a grip?
And all camera operators want to be comfortably in a big pile of cocaine snorting their way to the grave.
What is a grip? That's
what
an
is
interesting
a grip?
Thing.
Mark, what's a grip?
A grip.
Set?
A grip's like
lighting?
A...
Okay.
It's lighting. Someone,
isn't a grip an alternative to an electrician? So I think like electricians do the lights and grips do kind of everything else. There could be crossover. I should know this.
All grips wish they want to be the light bulb.
Yeah. Yeah, grips want to be the light bulb.
It's over.
And light bulbs don't want. And that is what we should all aspire to. Light bulbs don't want. Okay, let's read another question. I think we got some good advice out there. I don't remember what we said.
Okay.
This is a real one. Are you ready to get a little bit real?
I'm always ready to get real. I love it.
Hmm. How can I make friends in a new town? It's been a bit lonely, TBH.
Oh,
signed.
My Lord.
M. Good.
And M. Good.
Matthew G.
He was so canceled he had to relocate.
Yeah, it's been a bit lonely since people knew my sordid reputation. It's been a bit lonely since everyone associated me with my well-known crimes.
We still don't know his allegations and crimes.
I feel
like we can circle back to that later.
Yeah, but I don't want to know the specifics.
All right, head in the sand. Ostrich over here.
I love to have my head in the sand. Oh my God.
Comfy sand.
You know what? When you're an ostrich, you get your head in the sand and you're fast.
You're
on
fast?
Land. Land fast?
Is that what it is?
I don't know. An emu's fast. I'm assuming an ostrich is fast.
Oh, sorry. They're fast.
Fast.
Sorry. Yeah. I thought you meant like he can't eat because his head's in the sand.
Yeah. Okay.
They're lonely in a new town. This is a very real question. I've moved cities a few times. But I guess I just met people because I was immersed in like communities, like a comedy community or like I used to do music open mics. I guess you just have to, this sounds so nerdy, but you just have to move to another town. They don't like you there.
Oh, if you're lonely in one town?
Like you just have to go immediately.
Find the town where when you get off the bus,
you're
there's
immediately
like a crowd
surrounded.
And it's like, finally, you're here.
We're just saying everyone should move to St. John's, Newfoundland or a small town in Ireland.
Right. Come from away.
Yes.
You know that you're going to land there and be immediately.
They'll forgive anything in that town.
Yeah.
They'll forgive your attitude, your bravado. They'll even forgive you being the victim of 9/11.
You know what? Did you ever hear the story that even, and this is crazy, but we all know that like the town of Gander welcomed all the Americans who were displaced by 9/11. A few years later,
displaced.
They welcomed
their plane was temporarily rerouted. Yeah.
They also gave a warm welcome to none other than Mr. Osama bin Laden. A few years later, he came. They're like, you're welcome. And they screeched him in, and they're like, bygones are bygones, or whatever they say there.
You can hide here as long as you need to.
Yeah.
And, they screeched him in, meaning like he had a shot of screech.
Yeah,
is that what
and,
that means? mean?
And he's like, I usually don't drink because it's against my, you know, right, faith. But right, he was but like, when in Rome, and yeah. in this case, Rome was Newfoundland.
Newfoundland, yeah. and it was Screech.
Yeah. We don't have any caves for you, Mr. Bin Laden, but we do have a man cave. I hope you can support the local team because we got more than one pendant.
And he went nuts at a kitchen party.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Yeah. Oh, Osama loved it. Stomping. He loved the fiddling and yeah. the stomping and the atmosphere.
Yeah. yeah. Oh, God, I would love to get to a kitchen party. I wouldn't even care if he was there. I would flip.
No, you would love it.
I like the yeah. like, kind of like, you know, the spirit of a kitchen party is exactly me. I've been yeah. to other kinds of kitchen parties, but not as good as that.
Yeah, all hovering around the stove waiting for the spoon to heat up.
Or the knife. But my true advice is this. Join a community. Get in your new town. Join a community that forces you to get out. And then eventually, if you're like me, you will start to hate people so much and loathe the obligation that you will be happy. You will be looking forward to your nights home alone.
Yeah.
That's what I'm like. I'm in this comedy community. I'm out several nights a week.
Yeah.
I'm seeing the same people over and over. Of course, I'm seeing my friends, but you're forced to see other people that otherwise
people you
would never associate
people
with.
People that you despise.
You despise. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and yeah. so then finally you get a night off and you're like, I'm happy to be the loneliest fucking person on the planet. Shoot me to the moon. I've said this to you before, Mark. Mm. Shoot me off into another planet. I'm done.
Shoot
I'm done
me
with
to
people.
The moon. I despise everyone I see.
I've got no love for the members of the comedy community. Nerds.
In other words.
A bunch of nerds.
So yeah, just you know, you have to become more of a misanthrope and then your loneliness won't bother you. You'll embrace your loneliness.
I think that's the message of A Christmas Carol, which we seasonally watch in reverse. it's the story of right. a man who's got the whole community at
yeah,
his back
on
and
his
is loved
ass.
And beloved
yep.
and is sharing a turkey with a crippled boy
yeah,
and
his calendar
doting
is full,
family.
Full, full.
And then
yeah.
if you watch it the correct way in reverse, he finally ends up miserly alone,
yes.
counting his money in God's chosen state.
Yes. And he's just like, bliss.
Bliss. And he's able to tell people off and be mean without feeling ashamed.
Yeah.
And that's the state we're all
yes.
aiming for.
You know what's funny about the counting the money is that like sometimes that I do have like a cash stash. It's not like I'm an end of the world prepper, but I do like to have some cash.
Yeah.
And I add to it from, you know, when you get cash from shows, whatever tips. And like, yeah, like that is one thing I do on my own is I count my money.
Yeah.
And
little
I'm
coins.
Like, finally, I have a night in and I'm going to count my cash.
You have a cash stash, and I, in my costume collection, have a stash cash.
Oh, like C-A-C-H-E.
Yes, a bunch of fake mustaches that I count anytime I want to reckon with the choices I've made in my life.
And you
I
can't even wear them these days because they wouldn't adhere to your current
real mustache.
Yeah,
real and lesser mustache. I count my mustaches. I count my fake wigs. I count all my dresses and my girl costumes. And I think to myself, and then I look in a mirror and think, 40 years old. And then I read my childhood diaries and the things I wanted to be at that age. And I think, well, checks out.
You know what? I think more people need to get rid of their childhood diaries. I think it's just such a source of like feelings of failure.
Oh,
burn them.
I can't. It's the only document I have of my childhood crimes.
Michael, what do you think of my advice? Would you go a different way?
I would go a different way. I would say if you're feeling lonely, the best way to, in a new town, best way to make friends, sign up and enlist in the military. Toughen up, both physically, mentally, spiritually. Learn to kill. And the friends you make while you're learning to kill are the friends that will be with you for life.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like a blood bond kind
yes.
of like, yeah.
And they're good people. And
the real friends you make are the friends you make along the way.
Yeah.
Yes.
In
yeah.
the
yeah.
trenches.
Yeah, yeah. In the trenches.
Yeah. And that's what I would say.
Name a stronger bond than two men with the same turf
oh.
toe.
Oh, yeah. Trench bond? That's
yeah.
unbreakable. But it really sadly is.
It is sadly unbreakable.
Is turf toe a thing? I meant trench foot.
You
What's
meant trench
turf
foot.
Toe?
Turf I
toe?
Don't know what turf toe
is. That
toe
if you're
is.
Transphobic and you break your toe?
Oh my God. Yeah, it's from, no, it's turf toe's from stomping your foot from the, in the your indignation about trans people.
I think like J.K. Rowling, it's like Pinocchio. Anytime she says a turfy thing, her toe grows 1 inch. So have we given all the advice we need? I've moved to a couple of new towns in my day.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like I was displaced the first time. In the sixth grade, I went to another elementary school on the other side of town.
Oh, that's tough.
And I lost all my friends, and puberty hit at the same time, of a sudden, cool was a thing.
Oh, no.
Before that, cool was, among the boys, who was the fastest.
Like, it was all sporty
It
stuff.
Was land speed.
And then right. It became...
And I was the fastest, and the girls would chase me and Jaden, and we were the two fastest. And
there was a Jaden back then?
Yes, and they wouldn't catch us.
That must
us.
Have been one of the first Jaden.
Yeah, he was Jaden Prime.
He was a proto-Jaden.
Yeah, so he wasn't all together. He was a bit boxy.
Then when you 8-bit.
Yeah.
When you went through puberty, did... It become cool was like who could ejaculate the fastest.
Yeah. Yeah. And the least cool, me, was who had to eat the frickin' wet cookie when it was all over.
Oh my Lord.
But no, it was like literally cool became like something to do with fashion and attitude.
Yeah.
And it was like this guy who I started to worship was just, he would just stand in a certain way and not care in a certain way and spit really well.
Whoa.
Oh. He could spit far and well. And I just became...
Which is another kind of land speed, type of land speed.
That's true. But I feel like, and then after that, I went to a different junior high. And then after that, I went to a different high school. So it just kept being like a reset on friends.
My God.
And then I moved to Halifax and then I moved to Toronto. So... My answer is because I feel like I had trouble making close
friends with a guy who can spit.
Make friends with a guy who can spit.
Follow him to whatever town he wants. Yeah.
Follow him to the Catholic school, even though your parents don't want you going there. Follow him to med school, even though you have no interest in the subject. Follow him
to us.
That's
where he ended up.
That's where he ended up.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's a Dr. Jaden out there is what you're telling
no,
us.
No, this is not Jaden. Jaden was the
sorry,
fast
Jaden
kid.
Was the fast kid.
The
sorry.
Spitting kid was the next one.
The spitter right. became a doctor.
The spitter became a doctor.
What?
Yeah,
the spitter became
what?
A doctor. The spitter became a doctor.
I didn't expect that.
Me neither.
I thought he'd be in jail or dead.
Look, we're but in I will say, not good hands in this in our medical industry now.
I have some bad
this.
News for you. It's terminal.
I guess what we're saying, ladies, is doctors never swallow.
Oy.
Ew, Mike! Here's the answer is I never felt like I started to make true friends until literally last January. I had friends,
what?
But like I had friends, but I had barriers up. So here's my answer to you wanting to make friends in a new town. Start taking anti-anxiety SSRIs.
Oh, and it gets rid of some blocks that you put up between yourself and like intimacy
yes.
blocks?
It'll get rid of your fight or flight instinct every time a new person or group approaches you.
That's also what cocaine does to you too.
Okay, so either SSRIs or a healthy amount, let's say a camera operator's amount of cocaine.
Yeah, just a cam op, like because it like that's more of just kind of like that's less committal than like a whole prescription.
Yes, cocaine
and safer.
The nice thing about cocaine is you can try before you commit in sort of manic 10
yeah,
minute
manic,
bursts.
Yeah, exactly. Cuz you know when you see somebody that's like on drugs and they're just like they're ready to put their barriers are down, they're ready to tell you everything, they're ready to be your best friend.
Yeah.
And you're like ay, ay, ay.
Well, that's the nice thing about SSRIs is I become so more willing to share my business propositions with close acquaintances and strangers alike.
Perfect.
Yeah. And I do snort them. The doctors say don't, but I snort them.
But you just want it quick. You want it quick.
I want it quick.
You want to make all those new friends really quick.
Did they give you like a medical grade key that you can snort your prescription drugs off of?
Yeah, I've got a doctor's, I've got a plastic business card for my doctor to chop with. And then I've got a $1 bill with my doctor's face on it to roll up.
Well, it's good you're doing it in the safe way.
Yes, yeah, safe, sanctioned, supervised. Yeah. But yeah, interesting. So it's anti-anxiety and anti-depression meds that have opened you up to friendship. So there's something to think about for this person in their new town.
Do you have deeper issues that you could fix with drugs
mm-hmm.
and occasional therapy? Or do you just need to get out there until you become a misanthrope, like Jackie says? Or Mike recommended...
Joining the military.
Joining the military.
Joining the military. those are the three options.
Join your town's military. Every town has its
town.
Own independent
or,
military.
Yeah. Or like a reserve or something. Or yeah. just, or something less committal is maybe start hanging out at the Legion and pretend that you were at in some war.
Pretend like Stolen Valor or former militia.
Stolen Valor.
You don't want to go through the rigmarole in the process.
Form your own militia. Yeah.
Get arms, get guns, get grenades. You'll meet guys for sure. Yeah. There are guys into that stuff.
Go to the Legion and bark at young people to take off their hats until another old person says, thanks for doing that. Yeah. And then you're in.
You're in.
Okay. Now this is right up your alley, Jackie, but I chose this one because there's a nice twist in the question that I like. Okay. There's a fluffy white cloud of a Pomeranian that I see a lot, but he always barks at me and never lets me pet him. Love his dog walker.
Did I write this?
Love his dog walker, but how do I win him, the Pomeranian, over so I can converse with her for longer?
Okay, this is complicated because is this person like have a thing for the dog walker?
Yes. See, it starts.
And it's not even the owner, it's the dog walker.
You think that the question's about trying to win over the Pomeranian, but the twist is he's just trying to get in good with the woman and the Pomeranian is sniffing it out.
The Pomeranian is like literally a cock block.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Pomeranian knows that he has a mischievous ulterior motives. Yeah.
Dogs have a sense for these things. Yeah, even ones that are like kind of sort of arguably genetic abominations. Even those dogs can pick up on.
Is a Pomeranian that?
Well, I mean, I think they're so cute and funny, but like they're certainly not a natural animal that exists outside of a human meddling.
Well, I've seen Pomeranians in the wild and like a Planet Earth dog.
You were thinking what you were seeing probably was a big moth.
Notice how the Pomeranian barks at the horny man.
picking up on the man's motives.
The Pomeranian is once again attracted to the light on the porch.
Oh my God, what a complicated, twisty question. You know what? We got to know we don't know what's going through the mind of this dog walking woman. Yeah. Maybe she's also like, oh yeah, this guy again.
Yeah, she's she's barking in an interior.
Yeah, mode. And maybe
she's probably gripping the leash tighter.
Yeah, or just
which is making
tugs.
The Pomeranian bark.
Yeah,
yeah. It's reacting to that the way a like familiar would.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, I can picture this Pomeranian though. Like I'm not into I like big wolfy bear dogs. I like Great Pyrenees and Huskies and Malamutes.
Chihuahuas, yeah. I couldn't agree more.
But they're not really my style, but they are so funny and cute and like and they are so they're like very cat like. So I understand this person, but you know what? I don't know how to get in. I think that he's on to you, man. I think this Pomeranian's on to you.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be really hard to circumvent those instincts. Huh. But I mean, if it's okay with the dog walker, just have some treats.
I was going to suggest that as well.
Yeah.
Now, how about this? Have some treats that you don't even reveal. You just put them in your pocket.
Yeah, walk around with beef kind of like, in your pocket.
Yeah, beef. Or, yeah, yeah.
Loins.
So cram your pockets with loins. Stop at like Gasparo's on your way and because they have meat for dogs. Yeah. Say, I need some meat for my dog. And then
I need
cram
some
your pocket
meat for this lady I like.
I mean, so my dog. but that might make the dog go crazier.
Yeah, it would bark like a mad thing.
Or do these dogs even like that? Maybe these dogs probably like rapini and like quinoa.
Oh, it's like, it's a shishi dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take but whatever, find out what it
likes. Take
this
dog to Fresh. Get a bowl from Fresh.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. Get the Buddha bowl.
Yeah, get the Buddha bowl from Fresh.
From Fresh.
Yeah.
But you know what? If this person's a dog walker, doesn't she have other pets that she walks? Maybe find out her schedule.
Okay.
Yeah, follow her around and see what she does after hours when she's not walking
the
dog.
Yeah, yes.
Mm. Just sort of follow a few paces behind her all day.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A dog walker's got to walk, so she's got to get out of the house. You know where she goes.
She's got to get to and from picking up and dropping off this Pomeranian at some point.
Yes.
Also, call her service. Say, I have a dog. I need you to walk.
Get a dog.
A big dog suit.
Oh my.
And you're there when she comes.
Yeah, I won't be home. I won't be home, but let yourself in and the dog.
He's really well behaved, but he occasionally wants to have full penetrative sex.
I thought you were going to say he occasionally wants to go out for like a couple drinks.
No, the other one. Oh, yeah. And when he goes out for drinks, he really imitates human speech well. Just play along with
it. Just play along, and he doesn't have a time. He has to be back. You can stay over.
Yeah, he loves compliments.
This is Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, this is Mrs. Doubtfire dog style.
So that's an option. Another one is to sedate. Oh, now this is controversial. Sedate or slightly injure the Pomeranian.
Right, a little bit of like...
It's out of the picture a bit.
Some like Rohypnol in the treats.
Yeah.
Well, and then the dog's like...
Not Rohypnol. No one said Rohypnol.
No one said Rohypnol.
Yeah, leave your... I mean, you're going to need that Rohypnol for the future. Fine. So don't tap into that
stash. What else would you put in the treat? Like
Gravol to make it sleepy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that, Stefan, that's being cut. Oh, yeah. Like, okay, that's cut. Okay, oh, yeah, like a little Gravol inside the treat.
Yeah, a little Gravol.
Jackie, why'd we cut that other part where you said Rohypnol
because
instead of Gravol?
It's not funny. It's not funny.
No, it's not
funny, we
say.
Know, but it, yeah. You can use it for a dog, just a little bit for a dog.
Like a crumb.
Yeah, like a crumb for a dog.
Yeah, a crumb
okay,
for a dog.
Okay, a dog's portion.
A dog's portion of Rohypnol.
A Pomeranian's worth of Rohypnol would literally be like, it would be, you just have to kind of show the, like, put the dog treat and the Rohypnol in the same vicinity. Kind of like when you, like, just rinse the glass with dry vermouth.
I've trained my dog anytime it goes away from its dog bowl and there's water inside to leave a coaster on top of it. Just in case any other dogs come by with a crumb of the bad stuff.
Another way, too, to get the dog to trust you and not cockblock, the phrase you used, which is a really vivid phrase.
Good.
it's been a theme of this episode. Maybe castrate yourself so that the dog that doesn't is
sense.
Taken out.
Yeah.
So you stop wanting
the
the dog walker. Okay, now here is what we could really get to the root of the issue.
And then she'll
is remove want.
Yes, remove desire, want. Remove want.
So you can live more in the moment and focus on what's really important.
Yeah.
And then she'll like you and the dog will like you and then you stand a real chance with her.
To have a platonic friend, lifelong meaningful friendship.
Yes.
Yes.
But does this person have a dog? Why are they encountering the dog walker so much?
We don't have that information.
Maybe they need to get a Pomeranian and then the other one is distracted in those moments. I'm like, oh, we could walk our these Pomeranians together.
Okay,
and maybe
yes.
the Pomeranian will fall in love if you bring a dog of your own.
Oh, yeah.
Pomeranian falls in love with another dog.
You could do a human Pomeranian Lady and the Tramp thing where both of you are doing the spaghetti trick.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. The two Pomeranians, spaghetti strand.
Yeah, but these Pomeranians would obviously be eating like whole wheat spaghetti or even like gluten-free.
Yeah.
You have to choose the spaghetti.
They're both on either side of a chickpea in a fresh bowl. So it's not a long way to go.
It's just
But yeah, get yourself the hottest Pomeranian.
Yeah, smoking hot.
Huge, big breasts.
Big fluffy ass. Plume,
big ass,
fluffy butt cheeks.
Full lips.
Nice eyelashes, big long eyelashes.
Smells good.
Yeah, nails, clicky,
just
clacky
drench
nails.
It in La Labo.
Nice Brazilian wax.
Yeah, hairy all over except around the groin.
Reverse.
Find out what this Pomeranian's into. Does it like a bush?
You don't know.
Is this old
school?
Is this Pomeranian old school?
No, they're not. Pomeranians have only been around for like 10 minutes.
And make sure
they definitely would like very clean.
Yeah. And get a kinky dog as well. Wouldn't hurt. You know?
Yeah.
A dog that will do anything in the sack. No taboos.
Yeah, go to the breeder and ask if this dog will do anything.
Yeah, well,
and then slip a 50 into his hand.
And then the breeder is pressing a button under the desk.
No, but stay like it's not for me. It's for another dog.
And then they press a second button, which means ignore. There you go. We're back on track.
Disarm.
Well, I think we got some good advice.
Yeah,
what
I think
did we end
did.
Up saying? Buy a hot Pomeranian or
with big...
or sedate the current Pomeranian.
Sedate the current Pomeranian or follow the dog walker or
castrate yourself to eliminate the desire of
the
desire.
Yeah. Or possibly the final answer, stop having ulterior motives and either be a straight shooter and ask this gal out. Or just fucking leave her alone, bruv.
Yeah.
Oh, an ally. We've got an ally here.
Thank you.
But if you can I just reiterate, if
Please.
You do get the hot dog, make sure you have the checklist. Big, full breasts, big, plump lips, horny, will do anything in the sack, and Brazilian wax.
The listeners at home can't tell, but I am pressing a button right now.
Nice. Oh, big eyelashes as well.
Yeah, nice long blonde hair that covers one eye.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No gag reflex.
Ha ha ha.
my lord. I was going to say, before you said that, I was just going to say long purple gloves up to here and a red strapless dress.
Yeah, why didn't you?
But then gag reflex. All right, then. Good advice. I think we are making a difference right now.
That's great advice all around. All right, we've got one last letter here. And this is from a special anonymous celebrity.
Oh my God.
And it says, hey, Jackie, big fan.
Aw.
Whoa.
I work for a pretty crappy sultan.
Okay.
And I kind of want to run things myself. I heard about a magic lamp hidden inside a big sand tiger that requires someone pure of heart or whatever to grab it out. But then if I get it, a genie will come out and give me 3 wishes, and I can wish to be sultan, myself, or whatever, other things. Like, I can wish for anything I want.
Whoa.
Should I do that? And if so,
This is a strangely worded letter.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems very hesitantly written.
It's certainly long.
Yeah, sorry. He wrote at the beginning that he's dictating it.
Right. And his English is very good, by the way. I assume he's not amazing. From,
Well, maybe Canada, he was like brought in remotely, maybe works remotely, or I don't know.
Or maybe educated,
Right, a lot of English schools.
Britain or something, or America.
So he said, should I do it? And if so, what could go wrong? And if all those, and at what point should I quit? And also, am I exhibiting signs of hubris, or I don't know? What do you think, Jackie?
Well,
signed, J. Farr.
Okay, that's good. I do like that they're keeping it anonymous, because this is really personal.
It's so personal. It's crazy that people, like a guy like this, is revealing so much about his life.
On like a huge pod.
Yeah.
So I think if I could glean something from this letter, I think he's like a grand vizier or something like that.
It's giving vizier.
Yeah, so he's some sort of he's got the ear of the sultan by all accounts.
Yeah, sounds
and
like
good
it.
For him. Good for him.
Good
you
for
work
him.
Whatever you've got to work with,
Yeah, but it sounds there's worse ears to have.
He sounds like a he kind of sounds like he's about to climb a clock tower in this gig. Yeah.
Really. And what do you mean?
Well, he says that he's a crappy sultan. So it sounds like he's feeling like he's ready to shake things up.
Yes.
Make big career moves.
Yes. Yeah.
This lamp is obviously a good kind of networking opportunity.
This lamp sounds freaking amazing.
This guy sounds amazing?
This lamp.
Oh, the lamp. Yeah.
I'd love to get my dirty little hands on that lamp.
Rub it.
Oh, there's a P.S. He says, by all accounts, the genie inside this lamp has a vast knowledge of 20th century references.
Oh.
Pop culture references, does good impressions, and is in all cases a live wire.
Oh, okay, that sounds like a party.
Does he have a lot of energy as well that maybe isn't natural and maybe...
He says, P.P.S., this genie is fueled by, in quotes, substances.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if that's someone you want to align yourself with if you're very, career-oriented. Could go sideways.
Also, it could get a little annoying.
Should he, perhaps, I don't know, hire a street urchin, a street rat, as they say, to claim this lamp for him? Or is there a risk in doing that the street rat would double-cross him?
I don't want to stereotype street rats.
They're people, too.
Yeah. But, is a street rat... Just hypothetically, would he be hot with just a vest and no shirt?
I'd have to assume, yeah.
Okay, maybe well, that changes everything.
Yeah, and maybe with a monkey wearing a fez.
You sometimes think a street urchin in dressed like that is really hot, even if it's animated?
Even if I was very young and it was animated, yes.
Okay, Mike, I read you loud and clear. I'm pressing the button.
I say go for it.
A
whatever
street
happens,
urchin with a nice vest
and
no
shirt.
Gag reflex.
He could take the entire genie into his throat.
Oh my god!
Honestly, he could though. That genie can make himself quite small.
He's just kind of vapor.
He's
sometimes.
Gas. He's just gas.
I mean, he's just gas. Yeah. It's not a big deal.
Honey, if you can't fit a full genie down your throat, you gotta go back to throat school.
No, but he becomes gas and he's like, this doesn't usually happen to me. This doesn't usually, I don't usually become gas.
Charlotte, you know what I mean? Get off my case, Charlotte.
Yeah. Okay, look, I say go for it. You're not going to make any jumps ahead in your career by doing the same thing. You have to shake it up. You have to take risks in order to, like, you know, get out of saying take over, like, form, yes. Like, you know, if you want to, like, overthrow this, like, annoying, brutal, lame sultan.
Yeah. Like,
take a risk.
Like, I don't know who you are, but you're presumably a tall, gaunt, yeah. strangely handsome, queer-coded vizier. And you need to claim what's yours. I don't know if you even have a friend in the world or even a sycophant.
Oh, yeah. There. Yeah.
Perhaps if you don't have a flying sycophant, get one.
A winged
get
sycophant.
A wisecracking sort of Brooklyn sycophant.
Yeah. But I'd say the time where you would have to turn around on this whole endeavor and quit and, like, you know, throw in the towel is if you find yourself having to imprison a young woman. That's when I'd say,
yeah.
You know what? This is, you've,
the alarm bells are going off as you're saying that.
Yeah.
And just to play devil's advocate, but also to take, I think, the right stance on this, I think that's where you double down.
Okay.
If you've got a young woman in prison.
In shackles, literal shackles.
Well, here's, yeah. Young woman in shackles, fine.
Yeah.
Young woman in a bikini in an hourglass filling with sand, aces.
Oh, right.
That's
oh,
what yeah, you right. want.
Wasn't there some kind of, did she desperately, in her desperate hour, try and seduce him? And he was obviously impervious to that?
Yeah, I like that we're just giving up the ghost on this being some sort of anonymous writer. Let's just talk about the movie Aladdin for a bit. I'm still trying to figure out this final segment, and right now it's feeling a bit cute. Like, just preventing us from just talking about this movie.
Preventing us from just digging into it.
It's crystal clear as far as I can tell.
I think she tried to be like, hey, didn't she have like an apple or something? Or and
she
and then he choked
him.
On it?
Was
he
it kind of
choked on it?
Stockholm syndrome kind of thing where she was trying to...
Like, no, here's no, what think, happened. She was seducing him because she saw Aladdin approaching. And then it almost worked, but then
him.
He saw Aladdin reflected in like a sword or something.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then he got really mad and he cursed her into a hourglass filling with sand in an iconic S&M image for all time.
If you're into like time kink.
Yeah, if you're into time kink, I cannot recommend the last 10 minutes of the Disney animated film Aladdin enough.
What's the clock's name in Cogsworth?
Oh,
Cogsworth also
boner alert.
Is Cogsworth?
Who's Cogsworth?
The clock in Beauty and the Beast.
That's what he's called.
Cogsworth. Was he also an early sort of like steamy character for young Jackie Pirico?
Yeah, well, I mean, not for me, but like in the broader time kink community. Yeah.
Right. Cogsworth.
Cogsworth is a hot topic.
Apparently, he's very well hung.
Wasn't he kind of like the head? No, sorry.
No, Lumiere was.
Lumiere was the head of the house,
yes.
Like the head butler.
Yeah, Mrs. Potts had her place in the kitchen. Lumiere was sort of front
Where
of house.
Did Cogsworth fit into all of that? What was his
he
thing?
He was sort of befuddled.
Yeah.
He sort of did his job.
He was young, dumb. Had a big, He was hung
big
well.
Big second hand.
Yeah, big second hand.
Yeah, so, you know, I think like, if you watch Disney movies close, like what... Tarantino films are to the foot fetish community. A lot of 90s Disney movies are to the time kink community. There's
right.
a lot of good, hard clock, animated, personified clock action.
Yeah. Also, like the rose that was in the case.
Yeah.
And Beauty and the Beast, just the passing of time as it wilted.
That's fucking tight
Hot.
Time kink. Yes.
Yeah.
Nature's time kink.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God.
There's that scene in. Just to keep going with this, there's that scene in Hunchback, Disney's Hunchback.
Yes.
Where...
Clock Tower.
Oh, God, that's right.
And it's quite a metaphor. I don't think I need to describe it any further.
Say? I don't know what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know
you
what
do,
it is.
You sadly do need to describe
tower?
It.
Yeah.
Right? Big clock and ringing the bell. That's And then if you see that when you're a kid, you're horny.
So it's a metaphor for being
clock?
Horny?
Yeah.
Sick.
Right? I don't need to go into any further detail.
No.
Okay. Well, okay. Any final words for Jay Farr?
Imagine being on a set and Gilbert Gottfried isn't the most energetic guy on the set with you.
Or the most irritating.
We've accidentally stumbled into back-to-back Robin Williams
episodes. We have,
the Curse of Aladdin. They both passed, Robin and Gilbert.
Oh, that's right.
Who's next?
Who voiced Jafar?
Oh, my God.
Who the hell voiced Jafar?
Oh, my God. It was...
It was George Bush Sr.
It was Khashoggi.
Who's that?
Jamal Khashoggi.
I don't know that.
Jackie, he was a journalist who was
assassinated
by the Saudi government.
Oh, God. Oh,
Khashoggi did Jafar. Yeah. It is truly a cursed film.
When I was a kid, I conflated Jafar in my mind with Prince, like Prince.
You guys are not going to believe who voiced the tiger, who barely has any lines but just growls a bit.
Oh, who is it?
Khashoggi.
Oh, my God.
It's Khashoggi again.
Jesus. His line is this.
Diamond in the rough.
I'm thinking of Jasmine's tiger.
I'm talking about the sand tiger.
Sand tiger.
Sad news. I just looked up who did the voice for Jasmine, and I don't want to tell you it was Queen Elizabeth II.
Oh, no. Wow. Yeah,
they're all dead.
Cursed.
Yeah, so sad. Don't say, you know...
Don't even audition for an Aladdin
movie.
Don't
be in Aladdin. Oh. Don't be in Disney's Aladdin.
Do not do it.
Yeah.
Do not do it. Oh. Well, so the advice simply, Jafar, is I think Jackie's saying take risks. Take risks, but be reasonable. Don't push it too far. If you've got a woman in chains, that's too far.
That's a bridge too far, babe.
Too far, babe.
Mike said join the military. Yeah. And
try and get rid of your gag reflex.
And I'm going to say this. If you're not satisfied being a grand vizier, I don't think you're going to be satisfied being a sultan.
No. Yeah.
I think that, you know, if you go traveling and you're still miserable in another country, guess what the common denominator
is? It's you.
It's you. So maybe
Wherever you go, there you are.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe it's time for you to find one of the sultan's ornate mirrors and have a good long look inside at the man in there. And hopefully it's not a magic mirror with like an actual man, different guy in there who grants wishes
could happen,
or something.
Easily.
Yeah. Don't talk to him. Different mirror. He does not have advice that you want. He's just going to try and trick you into trading places in the mirror. So you don't want that at all. You got to look into a normal mirror.
Yeah, think critically when you're looking at the reflection.
Yeah, but not deceptively normal. If everything is an ornate mirror and you find one normal one and it seems like the Christ the Carpenter mirror, okay, that's the one that the guy's going to be in, and that's the cursed mirror. Find a regular...
Yeah.
Can I also say, all this talk of mirrors has made me think that whatever mirror Michael Jackson was speaking into, the man in the mirror,
yes,
that man in the mirror did not give him good advice.
No.
And he didn't succeed in changing his ways.
No, he didn't.
Well, who knows? Maybe he was on a righteous path up until that very moment.
Yeah, and then the man in the mirror was bad.
We gotta go. It's time. Thank you. Michael Palazzo.
Thank you.
Mark Little, thank you so much for having me. Jackie Pirico, thank you so much for having me also. It's been a real blast.
We love you around here, Michael.
And I hope my advice really helps and changes the lives of your listeners.
We're doing it bit by bit.
We're going to bolster the strength of the Canadian military one podcast episode at a time.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you.
And thank you to the listener. Thank you for your questions. And please send in more.
Yes.
Currently, we are receiving all emails or at all messages through Jackie's social.
Yeah, Jackie at Jackie Pirico. The link's in my bio to the form. It's an anonymous form.
Yeah, so send in your questions and we'll help you to the best of our ability. And be well.
Be well.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network. Sonar.